There may be something you are expecting from God. This is the time for you to make demands in the place of prayer. Can you make your request known to Him right now? We have come to you for an appointment. Look upon us with kindness, with mercy. Consider the limitation of our infirmities and show your mercy this morning in the name of Jesus. We ask for mercy. Mercy. Mercy, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Once again, Lord, we give you glory, we give you praise, we thank you for the privilege of being partakers of your divine nature. We thank you for the privilege of being recipients of your bountiful grace. And this morning, we celebrate you. We acknowledge you and we give you thanks and praise. As we proceed in this service, we give you the stage. Enlarge yourself amidst us and make unto yourself a great name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You can welcome someone. If you came with a Bible, I want to invite you to turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 22. We are still considering the subject, come up hither. Come up hither. It's a summon, it's an invitation that God is extending to us. And that was the invitation that was extended to John on the Isle of Patmos. And immediately when he yielded to the summon, he was in heaven. So we are trying to contemplate this morning how to interact with heaven. And we saw that in heaven, there is rest. In heaven, there is food. And then this morning, we'll be seeing the river of life in heaven. Revelation chapter 22, verse 1. And he showed me a pure water, river of the water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, there the tree of life which bears 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. So one of the items that John saw in his guided tour through heaven was the river of life. And this river of life is one of the basis of our interaction with the realities of heaven. We saw yesterday that if you are a partaker of spiritual food, you will be able to do supernatural things naturally, and natural things supernaturally. The river of life happens to be one of such possibilities of interacting with heaven. And the intention of God is that we, through his grace and through the fact that the Spirit of God is domiciled upon our hearts, we can take advantage of the resources that are available in heaven to prosecute our life upon the face of the earth. That's the model. That's what, how God designed life for man. We take advantage. You see, we just missed something now. But I pray we'll get it back. Now listen, listen. God is not a human being. He's a spirit. We are in a physical place, but there is a higher place where the reality that we represent in the natural is domiciled. Our reality is domiciled in places in heaven. That's the true constituent, the true context of our fellowshipping. We all will have to synchronize with what is obtainable in heaven if we are going to experience the fullness of God. It is possible for us to hold a physical meeting and the lights are accurate, the colors in the auditorium are well blended, and there is air conditioning and the sound is balanced, and you have an emotional moment. But having an emotional moment is not the reason why you came to church. We came to church to encounter an intangible realm that is more real than your tangible reality. If truly that is our quest, there are several things we will not take for granted when we come into the presence of God. One of such things is our heart. You need to till your heart at home and prepare it to encounter God, because that's the theater, that's the platform, that's like the airport where God is going to land. When I come into a place and the hearts of people are not tilled, it's easy to know. There'll be resistance in the spirit. It means we are... Can you reduce the volume a little? It means that we are more fasting to our physical domain, and we don't understand the flight that takes place from the position of the heart as we mount up with wings into the layers of divinity. So I am saying all I just said because we missed a moment now. We missed a moment. God passed here. I would miss that moment. And in time, it might look like a moment. Are you with me? You're not with me. A moment, that thing you call a moment, is actually a reality, a standing reality in the realms of grace. And that moment of alignment that you secure before God, you can leave that moment out for 15 years. Just a moment. Just like I had an encounter with God, the encounter in real time was 5 seconds. But they produced a book. Because as I began to contemplate and to meditate on the things that were impressed upon my heart on the strength of the encounter, and I began to put pen to paper, there was no end to the flow of that moment. So that moment lived on, and it's even alive today in print. That's how eternity finds an access route into time. If we can secure trap down moments and derive the full import of the essence of those moments. Many of us come into God's presence careless because you are concerned about a location. You don't know that our activities here will secure for us moments, and everyone is entitled to a moment. A moment where the timeless dimension will open up. And if you are so privileged of God to be in alignment and you touch that reality never dies. That reality you touch never dies. For instance, I secured a moment with God. You must have heard me say it again and again. I was born a stammerer. I was next to dumb. Intellectually, I was not bad, but communication was a challenge because of my impediment in speech. And I secured the moment. And when I secured that moment, what God was saying was, I have a covenant with you. And on the strength of the covenant I have with you, I put my words in your mouth. So that was what I understood the moment to mean. Then I took those words and challenged God. I said, okay, you say you put your words in my mouth, it means that it's no longer my responsibility to think of how the words will come out. Heaven's aperture opened up and you secured something in God. That thing you secure can live forever. It's eternal. It's as deep as God. If we take proper inventory, you might find that many of us seated in this place have lost moments. Moments that were eternal in nature. We killed it. And the life that was traveling with those moments, our lives could not create a conducive environment sufficient to maintain the essence of that moment. It doesn't take God time to do, it doesn't take God eternity to do what is eternal. All he needs is a moment that you can secure, you can tend, you can culture. And it becomes a living reality upon the face of the earth. So our physical location is not as important as the place where we are truly going to eventually gather, which are places in heaven, where everyone can have his own moment. I pray that God will help us in the name of Jesus. All right. John, in his guided tour to heaven, was brought to a place in the vision of Scripture. And in that place, he beheld the river of the water of life. In fact, the river of the water of life happens to be the living organism that is responsible for the sustenance of the tree of life. Because the tree of life happens to be one other mode of interaction between earth and heaven. But our concern this morning is about the river of life. This river is called the river of life because it has the capacity to give life. This river, unfortunately, is not for drinking. We want to investigate this river here and understand the capabilities of this spiritual resource so that each and every one of us will be able to plug in, and you will know experientially what is obtainable when this river is flowing. My business today is to set the coordinates so that we can tap into one of the fountainheads of the river and it just flows. That's my business. The river has its own life, has its own capacity, has its own will. And my business is to tap into the fountainhead and provide a channel. Because when the river begins to flow, its capabilities begin to manifest. Now, I would like to advise that in order for us not to be distracted and miss moments, ensure that your phone is not in a mode that can take our attention away from Jesus. All right? Once upon a time, the Lord said, "Wait for me, I'm coming." The moment there was a distraction, and I lost that moment. It cost me 7 years. And I see that most of us are not sensitive to the protocols of heaven. God is not God. God has all of eternity, and you don't have time. It's not a palatable experience for you to be repeating classes in the spirit. A time will come where there will be no time. God will have to allow you to pass on so that he can raise your children. So why will God seek my children when I am still here? The answer to that question is he may not have any choice because you were not sensitive to capture moments. Remember, he's a king. And a king decides when he sets out. You may know how to pray, but you don't know how to answer prayer. You may desire that a prayer be answered in the next moment, but that's not the way of a king. The king will respond in such a way that will give him glory. When you understand that there are few things you can manipulate when it comes into that space, you will learn what the culture of waiting on the Lord, because he's king. If you acknowledge the fact that you are heavily laden with infirmity, it will be an act of honor for you to wait on the king. Turn your Bible to the book of Psalms as we explore this great spiritual possibility that is built around this river. In Psalms chapter 46. I want to read from verse 1 to 4. Please stay with me. Stay with me. God is our refuge and strength. If you have a Bible, I want to plead with you to look upon it. For many of us, the only time we get to see the pages of our Bible is on Sunday morning, because you are on the train and you come back in the night and say hallelujah and you go to sleep. So since your only window for the Bible is Sunday, we want to ensure that you get to look upon it. So if you have a Bible, electronic or hard copy, this is part of what we do on Sunday. We study the Bible. Hallelujah. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. I'd like you to understand that the tone of the psalmist's utterances in this scripture is experiential. God cannot be known intellectually. Your brain is too minute to capture what God is about. Hallelujah. I met some smart guys some time ago. And they were smart. Quite intellectual. So I said, what's the distance between the nearest planet and the earth? They didn't need to Google. This is the distance. The second question. How will the earth look like if you were standing on that planet? So the earth will look like a speck of dust. How will you look like if they were viewing you from that planet? You'll be non-existent. These are just things God created. And from the perspective of one point, you don't exist. In fact, when Apollo 11 went to the moon, the only continent that was seen on the earth was Africa. And our poverty was not seen. If the devil wants to do overtime on your life, what he does is that he amplifies you. You become so huge, so big, it means you are lost. Because from the realm of reality, it's almost impossible to discover that you are there. So the one that is behind this is not a personality that you have any chance of comprehending with the same brain you used to study engineering. The realities of which I speak are such concrete realities that only your heart is the biggest chamber that God ever gave. Because in the sequence of mystery, the Bible says, eyes have not seen, neither ears heard, because ears are deeper in capturing information than your eyes. Neither has it occurred, entered into the heart of man. See, so your heart is bigger in terms of capturing stuff, capturing reality. That's your biggest charm. And it's not given to you to know all of God in that chamber. The whole of eternity is not enough for you to fathom it. Because he just created eternity as a workstation, as a frame of reference. A place from whence he will begin to administer his plan, which is in keeping with his good pleasure. Hallelujah. So, he gave us the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost happens to be inward. Because he wants to reveal himself in your inward path. So your inward chamber, the place whereon he writes his law, is a sacred place that each believer must be able to discern. Because if you fail to discern his movements upon your heart, you will be left with the option of prosecuting life on the strength of your own human wisdom. And we see what human wisdom has done to our world. May the Lord help us in the name of Jesus. I was reading a scripture in the book of Psalms 46. And this man is speaking experientially. He has authority to speak because he knows experientially the things he speaks about. He says, God is our refuge and our strength. That means he's a hiding place, just in case you are molested by circumstances and situations, you can run into God and find a place of security. Now, this guy cannot be saying this if he has not practiced it. This is a discovery that he made just exploring God. That there is a shelter that I can resort to when everything in London seems to be pitched against me. God is our refuge and our strength. Once upon a time, there is a city in my nation called Kaduna. And if you've been listening to the news in recent times, you find out that there is banditry and all kinds of stuff in a certain section in my nation. And I had to go preach in Kaduna. So we got a fast moving vehicle because you are likely to pass through bandits before you get to the destination. So I got my SUV. It can do wonders on the roadster. Unfortunately, while we were in motion, I heard a sound. And when we diagnosed it eventually, my engine had passed out. So we just parked it somewhere there. We got the guys to fix it, to labor on it. And then we had to take charter a vehicle. And this is not as fast as my SUV would have done. Oh. If you cross that place from a city called Kefi to Kaduna and you arrive alive, it means you have found refuge and strength. As we were in transit, I was looking for refuge in God, speaking in tongues. The military people were already waiting for me on the other side, just waiting for me to cross, speaking in tongues. Have you ever met death face to face? You will know that your PhD doesn't have value. Much as I'm an intellectual myself, and I know that life has improved because we have fertilized the soil of our soul. But in practical life issues that threaten your very existence, the pound in a bank may not be strong enough to bring deliverance. And David is saying, God is my refuge and strength. Have you ever felt weak? Ever felt insufficient in the face of a situation, and the situation never cared to know your name or where you're coming from? It just shut you down. That's when you know what it means to have access to strength. This man has had experiences, and he's testifying here that God also is a very present help. Not a future help or a past help. He's hooked up with you in your circumstances and situation. Hallelujah. If you have never been face to face with death, you don't know what I'm talking about. Very present help. And in the midst of the crisis, I was there. We were offshore working on a vessel trying to fiscalize the quantity of petroleum products that was coming into my nation. And when I looked round, I found out that all the guys on that vessel were hard guys. You know what I mean by hard guys? You don't know in London. There are no hard guys in London. I think some of you know. They were hard guys. And the guys had a deal. The deal was supposed to translate into a lot of dollars. And unfortunately for them, I was the one on duty. No deal survives where I am. It was a bad day for them. And I knew what they were hiding, so hey, leave my volume. Just don't be moved. Don't be moved to touch anything there. I knew where they were hiding the product. We sounded all the tanks and they moved. Can you just reduce my volume? And don't touch it. So we went and located where they kept the product that they were supposed to bring to the country. And we fiscalized that quantity, calculated it, and it's okay. At the end of the day, we are expecting this volume to be pumped. A little thing there sparked a fight. You know, I said they were hard men. And people in London don't know hard people. Unfortunately. So it's difficult for me to explain how to survive amongst hard men. The moment the fight broke out, one of the guys reached out to a bottle, broke it, and wanted to stab. We would have all died. And I turned to the Lord, who is a very present help in trouble. Not an absentee God, but a God that is available. I said, how do we do this now? He said, that man with the bottle, move close to him and slap him here. He said it once, said it again. So I moved and I slapped the guy there. And instantly he started crying. That was how our life was spared. He cried. I don't know what. He cried for love. And that is why I'm still alive. Because there was a help that was present. If you have never known the things that I say, this will look like a poem. Next verse, if you still have my scripture. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. He said, therefore, because this God, we have come to know him experientially as a refuge, as a strength. This is what it does to us. We are not moved. When you see a man that is confident in the midst of the tempest, know that the man has known a God that is a refuge. When you find a man that is not afraid, it is because he has secured the refuge. So the Bible says, therefore, I will not be afraid. This God can only be known experientially. The memory verses you cram in your brain are good for your brain. Anything that does not affect your heart cannot change your life. The psalmist says, the word, thy word have I hid in my heart. You see, it's only that which is on your heart that will rise in the day of battle to your defense. Not the one in your head. In fact, the thing that will escape first are the things you hide in your head. The moment you see that one, just go. What is in your heart that comes to the rescue? Okay? So he says, therefore,
Will not we fear though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea? Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled. Sometimes life can be like that. Everything is raging. There's so much trouble. If you know the refuge, you know the secret place, you will know the experience of strength. Because people will look at you and say, you are mad. How did you do that? No. Strength. He imparts strength. He strengthens you with might by his spirit in the inner man. And from the outward, men will consider you a mystery. It is that expression of the strength of God through your life that should become an attraction for many people. If your life is no longer attractive, it means you've been out of date. And probably you're the 1982 model of yourself. Obsolete and so out of date. Because as he deals with you, he upgrades you. So that you will have the recent technology of the Spirit to outsmart the workings of darkness. The Bible says, though the waters therefore roar and be troubled, and though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, as far as my emphasis, there is a river. This one is not for drinking. The streams whereof make glad the city of God. It means if this river is flowing through your vessel, there is a gladness that defies understanding, that is imparted into your heart. You are supposed to be in despair because of the circumstances around you, but you just got hooked up to a river. A true believer is not someone that can be understood. When men are expecting you to be in perpetual sorrow, they will fail to realize that the joy of the Lord, if the Lord in you is joyful, that is your strength. It's difficult, except you know the workings of the Spirit of God in the heart of man. You cannot seem to understand the ways of an accurate believer because he's strong. Strong when everyone is afraid and weak. And if you see him in the presence of God, he's so humbled and so weak because he knows that in himself and of himself, he is capable of nothing. When Satan comes to him and says to him, I will give you this. He tells Satan, I have all things. I'm wondering where you will take that which you want to give me from. When Satan comes to him and says, I will take away from you. Then he says, I have nothing. This kind of fellow is always a spectacle to the world. The Bible says there is a river. The streams of this river makes glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. Well, I don't need to explain to you how that you are God's dwelling now. And the tabernacles of the Most High are supposed to be made glad through the influence of a river. The point I want to make this morning is, have you touched that river? Is your life aligned to receive from the channel of life that is linked to that water of life? How many of us still remember? Hallelujah. Okay, let me fetch a scripture quickly. Ezekiel chapter 47. And this prophet was trying to explain a vision. A vision of the realities that were associated with a certain temple that he saw in the spirit that was never built. And in the book of Isaiah chapter 47, the Bible says, afterward, he brought me again into the door of the house. And behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house